Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at AgriGold.com.
From the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the closing market report for the 24th day of October 2014. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Mike Zuzulo. He's at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting in Atchison, Kansas. We'll discuss the cash grain market with Ben Pruce at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility, and take a quick look at the weather forecast with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey. If you can stay with us through the whole hour, you'll hear the first part of Commodity Week. Of course, it's a bit longer than what we have on the radio. You can do that at willag.org. It's already posted. Our panelists this week included Bryce Knorr of Farm Futures Magazine, Bill Mayer from Strategic Farm Marketing, and Chip Nellinger of Blue Reef Agri-Marketing. Commodity Week, it's our weekly look at the commodity marketplace up on the website at willag.org, on many of these radio stations today or tomorrow, and right here on our home station at AM 580, immediately following this Friday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
Checking the numbers now as they finished up in Chicago on this Friday afternoon. The December corn futures at $3.53 were down 6 3/4 for the day. March at 3.66 3/4, 6 3/4 lower, and the May at 3.75 1/4 down 6 3/4. July corn 3.82 3/4, 6 3/4 cents lower, and December futures 3.99 1/2 down 5 3/4. Soybeans November contract $9.77 1/2, 15 3/4 lower. January at 9.83 1/4 down 16 3/4, and the March at $9.90 16 1/2 cents lower. May futures 9.96 3/4 down 15 3/4, and July at $10.02 1/4 down 15 1/4. Next year's November beans at $9.77 1/4, 12 1/2 cents lower. Bean meal down $2.20 at $3.50.20. Bean oil at $32.39, 28 cents lower. Live cattle futures $168.77 1/2, down 27 1/2 cents. In the October, December at 167.52 1/2, 1.57 1/2 lower. October feeder cattle at $238.15, down $2.07 1/2. November at $234.90, down $1.80. And the lean hogs in the December contract $1.75 higher at $90.47 1/2. The soft red winter wheat in Chicago at $5.17 3/4, down 9 cents for the day. And the hard red at $5.93 3/4, finished 11 1/2 cents lower. This, of course, is Illinois Public Media. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures are currently trading December at $81.15. That's 94 cents lower. The RBOB gasoline price, or wholesale, at $2.18 8/10 cents per gallon. Down a penny and 8/10. And ethanol futures at $1.68 4/10, 2 8/10 cents lower. And the spread is 50 4/10 cents wide. That's 9 10 cents wider than it was yesterday. Natural gas at $3.62 1/2, up 3 10 cents. Diesel fuel at $2.48 7/10. That's from New York, a penny and 1/10 lower. And the gold futures at $1,231.30 on a settlement price, $2.70 higher for the day. U.S. dollar at 85.72, down 0.115 on the afternoon. Here's what the weather forecast looks like. It comes from the Urbana-Champaign, for the Urbana-Champaign area, from the National Weather Service. Mostly sunny skies, a high of 67 degrees this afternoon. Currently 67 outside the studios here in Urbana-Champaign. West-southwest winds at 7 miles an hour. It'll be cloudy this evening with a low of 51. Again, south-southwest winds at 6 to 8. And then tomorrow, partly sunny, gradually becoming sunny with a high of 73 degrees. A west-southwest wind at 6 to 10. That will turn to the northwest in the evening on Saturday at 3 to 8 miles an hour, when we'll have a low of 46 degrees under clear skies, and on Sunday, sunny skies and 72. The winds will come back all the way around from the southeast at 5 to 8 by the time we get to the afternoon. Sunday night, partly cloudy and 54. Sunny skies on Monday and 77. Showers are likely on Tuesday. Otherwise, mostly cloudy and 66 degrees. Those will go into Tuesday night. And then on Wednesday, sunny skies and 57. Wednesday evening, partly cloudy and 43, and on Thursday, sunny skies with a high near 60 degrees. More on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll check in with Jim Angel at the Illinois State Water Survey, the Prairie Research Institute.
This stock and commodity report is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. It's public radio for the farming world, and that means you are part of our financial underpinnings. That's right. We depend on you to help fund our agricultural programming. In fact, programming on the radio station at Illinois Public Media in Urbana-Champaign is about 40% funded by our listeners, listeners like you, whether you happen to be listening on our home radio station, one of our commercial affiliates, or if you listen online. It's important that you give right now, because if you do, we have an opportunity to pick up $5,250 extra dollars. We only need 10 phone calls. Probably I'd get them in this half hour, say 20 minutes, to make that happen. Just 10 more, and we'll put $5,250 in the kitty from a whole bunch of the folks that help us out here each and every fund drive, including the folks at Bates Commodities and CGB and AgriGold. It's part of the service. It's part of what happens. It's part of the friendly part of agriculture, and we'd like you to join the process at 217-244-9455 because, well, it's just an important thing to do. Mike Zuzulo does it with his time each and every Friday, and he's here this afternoon to do it along with us from his office in Atchison, Kansas at Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting. What a great day it is, Michael.
Todd, I'm very honored to be part of that agricultural programming there, too. It's been something that I've really enjoyed over these years, and I thank you and Dave and all the members there that participate and support us, because it has been really helpful to me and my family and my business, and a sincere thank you to you.
Well, thank you so much. I know Dave and I work really hard, but frankly, you and the other analysts make it awful easy to do our jobs, and you're the biggest part of the service. You manage to get really good information out, and it makes a difference to the listeners, I know, and hopefully they'll call in at 217-244-9455 and tell us that's the case. We need 10 calls in the next 20 minutes. Tell me about the marketplace today, other than what happened earlier in the week. This one kind of turned around on us.
Yeah, we needed a short-term pullback, I think, just from a standpoint of testing some support levels, some short-term support levels, and maybe giving the longs a chance to step back in on a potential pullback. I think the bottom line for this market going into Friday's opening was you couldn't sell the market after the Thursday trade because of the turnaround and the technical reversal in soybeans. But then by the time we got to the early part of today's trade, after ringing that $10 November bean bell in the Globex market late in the session, the beans started to give way some, and I think that introduced a lot more selling activity. A lot of chatter about the November bean options expiring and the November cereal options for corn and wheat and meal expiring as well, and that may be having some play because the open interest numbers were fairly big. But I think on a weekly basis, you know, when you sit back and look at the numbers, we've had 6-week highs for wheat and beans this week. We had an 8-week high put in for corn. We've had the fourth consecutive weekly close higher in all three, and the soft red wheat stayed above its old harvest lows from July of around that 515 level for a second week in a row. And I think there's only probably one thing that would allow for these types of numbers to be posted, and I got to think that the market felt as though the demand had come back in, and the reason the demand had come back in is because prices got down low enough to attract it and maybe even overshot the mark to the downside and really brought in some strong export demand.
That would be a stronger fundamental than the other one that most people are thinking about, which is a lower acreage number over time.
Yeah, I think so, and this is where I sent out a midday update to the clients and some colleagues in Chicago, and I got quite a bit of feedback on this in a matter of just a couple hours. But I'll share some numbers with you, Todd, that I don't think the trade really is understanding at this point, because we've been so supply-oriented and so negative demand-oriented in the corn market in particular, mainly because of the wheat and because of the MIR 162 issue. And that is major corn exporters right now, as far as their ending stocks on the last WASDE report, they're down about 5.7% in ending stocks versus last year. And for total foreign ending stocks, ending stocks are down about 2.7% versus last year. So we literally have less foreign competition, and we have less major exporter of foreign competition when it comes to the corn market, but I can tell you that it has not felt that way, and I know you feel it as well. It has not felt that way as we've gone into this harvest time period. It's felt as though the market was just overly burdened with supplies and that we had a lot of Black Sea competition, a lot of foreign competition that was only going to keep prices down. And so with a little bit of weather coming in here and harvest delays and a little bit of planting weather problems in Brazil, and then a lot of export demand, I think that has changed the medium-term look of the markets at this stage.
So let me clarify. So the numbers are telling you that without the United States included in the set,
right,
that the other foreign suppliers of corn are short about more than 5% supply.
That's exactly right. The major exporters are almost 6% less in ending stocks versus last year's marketing year.
What'd you hear back from the clientele?
The client, the one colleague in Chicago in particular called me and said, "I did not know that." It felt like Johnny Carson. "I did not know that." and I think that's where the trade has been so focused on the supply, and naturally so with the yields and with the crop progress reports and the conditions report. But I mean, unnaturally from a standpoint that we're now running 18% above the year ago levels on export commitments for soybeans. We're running 14% above year-ago levels in corn, and the USDA has us down 8% for the marketing year. And that just doesn't jive. Why, with sharply lower average U.S. prices and less foreign competition, would we lose more export business than last year, unless you're talking about a GMO issue or something that has to do with a fresh fundamental factor that we're unaware of?
And we're going to start calling you the amazing Karnak.
I don't think so.
Did you do the same set of numbers for soybeans? Did they show anything different?
No, they did not. I mean, I think that's where in the soybeans, we actually are growing in foreign competition because of the South American
right.
crop last year and what we may put on the books this year. And this is the difference in the medium term, whereas this week the soybeans were bought aggressively. We had a 25-cent higher close in November beans versus about a 5-cent higher close in December corn. We saw the Nov-July bean spread jump in favor of the November on an idea that the demand is outpacing supply again. But in the medium term, the global numbers actually would suggest the opposite.
Hey, and they drug the wheat up, too. It was only up about a penny and a half or something like that in the late option December, but it did manage to close the week higher, didn't it?
Yeah, the interesting thing that came out today that's good for the medium term again is that Sovcon reported that because of the recent weather in Russia, their new crop wheat is probably going to be down about 15% between less acres and the fact that a very cold spell is going to come in and sit on top of them and cut short their planting pace and also their ability for the wheat to get a stand built. And so they're already starting to trim their 15 crop at this stage. And I think at this level of inflation that Russia's battling because of the sanctions, Todd, you'll probably see them want to hold on to more of their 14 wheat. So I like that number a lot this week.
All right. Thank you so much. We appreciate what you do for the radio stations.
Let's get 10 callers.
You betcha. Thanks. That, of course, is Mike Zuzlo. He's a global commodity analytics and consulting in Atchison, Kansas. And yes, indeed, he is right. We need 10 callers. I'm going to go with that. I suspect we need less than that, but I don't care. 10 is the number I want to go with at this point. And we need you to dial in at 217-244-9455 because there is a nice little, well, for us, a big pot of money.
Yeah, very big pot of money. $5,250 put together by folks like Mike Zuzulo from Global Commodity Analytics and Consulting and Dan Zwicker at CBG Enterprises Incorporated. We want to thank them. Just two of the businesses who have put this $5,250 challenge together. We've been working on it all week. It was to hear from at least 100 of you who will mention agriculture when you make that pledge of support. We're down to 10, Todd. We're down to 10, and I'll go check the board here in a little bit and see where we actually
are.
Don't
tell me if it doesn't change.
I won't. If I come in and I'm silent, then it didn't change. But so we need 10 people to be heroes right now and call 217-244-9455 or maybe make a pledge online at willpledge.org. Make a $120 a year contribution to WILL. Put that on your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. That that your contribution, along with that of the 90-some other people who have pledged for support so far this week, like Charles from Toledo and David from Savoy and Ken from Urbana. Thank you guys very much. We'll add all of that together. We'll put in that $5,250, and we'll buy a lot of services for our ag listeners who use this service in their business. If you find yourself using this service, if you find yourself using the information from these analysts in your business and making your business decisions, make a little bit of an investment in this radio station right now. 217-244-9455. 10.
Yeah, 10. We need 10. Let me make a note here that if you happen to be listening to this program on the web after the fact, and there are as many listeners after the fact as there are on the radio live, don't think we made the 10.
Go ahead.
We didn't make the 10. More is always better. We did not make the 10. You're not off the hook. Do call 217-244-9455. Or since you're already happen to be online, just go to willag.org or roll up to the top of the page.
We call it safety in numbers.
Yeah, and hit the Contribute Now button up at the top of the page. However you do it, it's really important that you do it. And I do want to take time to thank everybody who has made that contribution, because it makes a difference. It really does make a difference. It tells the radio station that agriculture is important. Continue to do what you do. The other thing is, I want to take a moment here to thank some folks that you don't hear about often. Those would be our commercial affiliates. If you happen to be listening to one of them out of Watsika or out of Taylorville or out of Clinton, Illinois, or up at KEI, wherever you happen to be listening to one of our commercial affiliates, we have a good deal with them. There's no money changed hands anywhere, except that we hope that they happen to get a few extra listeners. Maybe they get some contributions and commercials that they air from their local economies, and that you will call 217-244-9455. Same thing for online. Thank you to the Illinois Farm Bureau. They give us a satellite feed that allows the commercial stations to be there. Thank you to the University of Illinois, because they've got a great big backbone that allows us to be online and really do some work. So we do appreciate all of that. However you get this program, if it's important to you, please do dial in right now at 217-244-9455 or pledge online at willag.org. University of Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason. Up next, if corn farmers want a break-even price for their crop next year, they'll need to plant fewer acres of it. I'll have more on how one ag economist has forward-figured the number of corn acres needed in 2015 to push cash prices back above $4 a bushel. Well, the calculations are complicated and continually evolving, but possible to do. One way to approach the question of how many corn acres are needed in 2015 is to determine the combination of production, consumption, and year-ending stocks that would result in a 2015-16 marketing year average farm price closer to the cost of production. That's estimated to be in the low $4 range, assuming trend yields, in much of the Corn Belt, and requires a stocks-to-use ratio, a combination of all the factors just listed, of about 12%, says University of Illinois ag economist Daryl Good.
If we look forward to say, okay, how much old crop corn are we going to start with next year? What's our consumption base going to be next year? And assuming it's the same as this year, and we want to get our stocks down to about 1.6 billion bushels, how many acres of corn would we need to plant? Well, first of all, you have to say, well, what are we going to yield next year? And just start with the idea that we have a trend yield, 162.5 bushels, that we need to plant about 7.8 million acres more than we harvest. We need to harvest about 80.5 million acres of corn next year, plant something over 88 million, which would be about 2.6 million less than we planted this year.
Again, in order to get to a 12% stocks-to-use ratio, and more importantly, a cash price for corn somewhere just north of $4, U.S. farmers would need to plant about 88 million acres.
This is certainly possible. The number is roughly what U.S. farmers planted to corn in 2010. However, the dilemma is that reducing the number of corn acres usually means those acres are planted to either wheat or soybeans. And there isn't any real call for more bushels of those crops.
You know, I think that's the dilemma right now. We do know that total cropland acreage, the USDA's official estimates do vary somewhat. But just saying that if we're looking at a fixed pie in terms of total crop acres, if we reduce corn 2.6 million, where is that going to go? Right now, the prices favor a little more wheat, a little more soybeans in favor of corn. And then the question is, do we really need more acres of those two crops? And again, starting with the assumption of trend yields next year, you would say we probably really do not need any more acres of those two crops either.
U.S. wheat stocks are expected to increase during the current marketing year, and a trend yield in 2015 would result in a larger crop than produced this year, with no increase in acreage. A trend soybean yield in 2015 would result in a smaller crop than produced this year, but production would still exceed the projection of use during the current marketing year. It may be, thanks Darrell Good, that low prices will result in some decline in total crop acres in 2015. Oh, what a beautiful Friday afternoon. Usually we would talk, of course, at this time about the cash grain market with Ben Pruce at the Anderson's Everly, Iowa facility. I emailed or texted him just before the program. I always do that, and sometimes he's there and sometimes he's not. This afternoon he is not available. I don't know whether that's because he's out of the office or because they're just so busy. I think he's actually out of the office. I suspect they're really busy there, too. One note here, because you have been busy, and I haven't said this for a while, but I really would like you to go ahead and just shut the machine down and take a nap. Your spouses really appreciate it when I say that. But you've been working, what, probably, I'm going to guess, 7 or 8 days straight now, probably 14 to 16 hours a day. A little nap in the afternoon will help out. Go ahead and shut her down and take a nap when you get the chance, because statistically, it'll be really good for you. And I mean really, 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 really good for you. You won't get hurt is what it amounts to. And if you get hurt, that's going to cost $1 million. I got something that's way cheaper than that. How about $120 to get good information like you're hearing from us at the radio station here? We're hoping to raise $120 for you, from you, or, you know, $30, $40, $50, $120, $240, $640, $1,000, whatever. Dial in at 217-244-9455 with your pledge of financial support. And if enough of you do that, 100 of you, we will put another $5,250 in the bank, won't we, Les?
We certainly will, Todd. And we are getting so close to meeting that goal. We only need probably a couple, three more people to make that call and make that pledge of support.
Close only counts if we make it.
That's right. At 217-244-9455 or willpledge.org. Can't add it to the total unless we make it. And we're within, you know, I went back and looked, and it looks like we have maybe about nine pledges that came in, but they're kind of unverified. So let's make sure that we make that pledge and make that challenge at 217-244-9455. Can a couple more of you right now call that number, 217-244-9455, and pledge $120 or $300 or $500, whatever fits into your budget. You decide that. But make the call, make the pledge. Make sure you mention Ag Services so that we can count you towards this challenge.
Right.
A couple of you right now, 217-244-9455, or online if you've got your pad or your tablet with you, willpledge.org.
This is Illinois Public Media.
It's National Bologna Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1836, Alonzo Dwight Phillips patented the phosphorus friction safety match in the U.S. By the time of the Civil War, about 1 million matches a day were being produced. In 1861, the first transcontinental telegraph was completed and went into operation. The first message went from Justice Stephen Field of California to President Abraham Lincoln. By the way, the Pony Express, up to that time, the fastest communication between East and West, shut down just 2 days after Lincoln received the message. In 1929, it was Black Thursday on this day, the first day of the panic-driven stock market crash that hastened the Great Depression. Black Thursday was actually the first day of a 3-day crash in Wall Street. In the days leading up to Black Thursday, the market was severely unstable. Periods of selling and high volumes of trading was interspaced with brief periods of rising prices and recovery. By the way, the Dow did not return to pre-1929 levels until late 1954. And in 1939, employees at DuPont's factory in Wilmington, Delaware, purchased the first nylon stockings for sale in the U.S. They were available nationally in May of 1940. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Have you dialed in yet? I hope so. I'll give you the number to call in just a moment. You're listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois. Have you dialed in yet? 217-244-9455. We're so close to putting $5,250 in the bank. I'm going to say we probably made it, but I can't guarantee that at the moment, so keep dialing 217-244-9455 or pledging online at willag.org. Let's check in on the weather forecast. Here's Jim Angel.
This is Jim Angel, state climatologist located at the Illinois State Water Survey at the Pre-Research Institute on the campus of the University of Illinois. It was a quiet week in Illinois with temperatures 2 degrees below average and almost no rain. So far, October has been both cooler and wetter than average across the state. The statewide average temperature was 54.1 degrees, 1.5 degrees below average. The statewide precipitation was 4.2 inches, which is well above the 3.3 inches average October precipitation. Soil temperatures have been slowly falling this month. On October 1st, the 4-inch soil temperature under grass was in the 60s. Now they range from the upper 40s and the low 50s in northern Illinois to the mid-50s in central and southern Illinois. According to the National Weather Service forecast, this weekend will be dominated by high pressure before a low-pressure system moves in early next week, bringing cooler, wetter, and cloudier conditions. Daytime highs on Saturday, Sunday, and Monday will be in the upper 60s and the 70s in northern and central Illinois and in the upper 70s and low 80s in southern Illinois. After Monday, we can expect the rest of the week to be a little cooler with highs in the 50s and 60s. Precipitation is expected to move into Illinois sometime Monday evening and remain through Tuesday. Precipitation amounts are expected to be light and in the range of 1/4 to 1/2 of an inch. After that, no rain is in the forecast through next weekend. This is Jim Angel, state climatologist at the Illinois State Water Survey.
Our thanks, of course, to Jim Angel and all the weathermen that you hear on our radio station throughout the week. There are, count them, 5 of them during the week, and there are 6, actually, during the wintertime when we add Ed Kieser back into the roundup to take a look at the agricultural weather forecast in South America. That'll happen again soon, and if it's important to you, please do visit our website or just call this number, willag.org, 217-244-9455, with your pledge of financial support. Coming up in the next, minute and a half or so, Commodity Week. Stay put for that one. Our special guest this week is from Farm Futures, their senior markets analyst. That's Bryce Knorr. But keep dialing that number, 217-244-9455. Les Schulte, we will put $5,250 more in the bank with one more call.
Oh, yeah, we're so close. And so your call right now, let that call be you. If you use this service, if you tune in, if you use our online services at all, if you get our Aggie newsletter, call now and make a pledge of support. You can put that on your Visa, MasterCard, Discover, or American Express. Make a $120 a year commitment. That's just $10 a month investment into this service. Call 217-244-9455, or if you'd rather make that pledge online, terrific willpledge.org.
Yeah, or willag.org, and just roll up to the top of the page, and you can hit contribute now however you do it. Thank you so very much. Thank you for listening to the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media. On our home station, Commodity Week is up next.
Support comes from AgriGold, celebrating their 12th year as a major corporate underwriter of Illinois Public Media's Ag Programming and e-newsletter. AgriGold's support allows their customers and growers everywhere to receive quality ag information at no charge. More information on AgriGold is at agrigold.com.